You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a busy news day, everyone. We're doing our best to keep up. Of course, another tragic shooting earlier today at Florida State University. I was fortunate enough to have spoken with Fred Gutenberg. Months ago, I think it was back in October, his daughter Jamie was killed in the Marjory Stoneman Douglas shooting. We'll put the link to that interview in our show notes for today, as well as the shows immediately following the Madison school shooting that we had earlier this year in the state of Wisconsin. I go through some pointers on how to keep yourself safe in a mass shooting. Suffice it to say, if I hear another conservative talk about hopes and prayers, it's words are insufficient. When are they going to do something about this problem?
I don't think they're going there anymore, even saying thoughts and prayers.
Our producer, Jamie,
just posted that Trump said things like this take place.
Mm. What a leader.
Things like this take place.
Not in any, no other country except for ours. That's, you liar. They take place here.
Yes.
These things take place. Mm.
Yes.
Unbelievable. We were talking about Lisa Murkowski saying in response to a question, what do you say, Senator Murkowski, to people who are afraid? And she said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to use my voice because there's been retaliation. She should get the hell out of the Senate.
Isn't this where we're at, Maggie, though? Don't we have a number of Republicans who because I keep hearing, reading these stories of there's a whole bunch of them who are anxious and upset about what's happening.
But they won't do anything, right?
But they're not doing anything, and they continue to vote for the same stuff over and over again. And if you're worried about your job,
you're in the wrong job.
You should be worried about the country because you took an oath.
Yeah.
I mean, my congressman, Fitzgerald, I have not heard him say one word about what's happening. Here's the thing. We pay taxes and our tax dollars to going to these people who are doing absolutely the opposite of their job. Calvin, I don't know if you can find the clip again that says I'm pissed, but I'm pissed about this. Because this is so outrageous. It takes a modicum of courage to say enough's enough.
Well, and here's the thing that's happening, Tom. The cowardliness of our elected officials, and I'm going to be real specific here, the cowardliness of Republicans, every single capitulating Republican who isn't slamming this dictator, this tin pot despot every day, you are part of the problem. What they're doing with their cowardliness, their yellow bellied-ness, is doing their failure to be courageous is forcing regular Americans to become heroes to just survive, right? It shouldn't require heroism to go to work every day. It shouldn't require heroism to go to your house of worship on the weekends. It shouldn't require heroism to say things against this president. It shouldn't require heroism and incredible amounts of superhuman courage to stand up and say, I am here illegally, but I also deserve due process.
Right.
Their That's failure is putting it all on people who shouldn't have to be warriors for democracy. Like the very people who are supposed to stand up and say, no, we're a co-equal branch of government, you dolt. You don't get to upset the world markets, drive middle-class Americans, you know, grocery bills up even higher without us. Right. We're Congress, damn it.
And it doesn't take that many of them.
No.
It would take what?
Like
four
a handful.
In the Senate, four in the House, like a handful in each building to go, wait a minute. And they don't even have to disagree with everything. It just has to be a few things.
Yeah,
to bring back those checks and balances, right? If you want to, if you're all on board with cutting, you know, Health and Human Services and, you know, and the National Labor Relations Board, whatever, right? If that's right up your alley with policy, like if you don't want clean air and water anymore because you want to, you know, reward your donors and that allow them to pollute at will. Okay, that's a policy decision you're making. But when it comes to the rule of law, when it comes to contempt of the courts, at some point you have to stand up and say, we are with the courts. Or if you're not saying anything, that means you do not believe in the rule of law anymore.
Correct. And Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Chuck Grassley, Rand Paul, the turtle.
Right.
Y'all gotta go. It shouldn't be hard to say, listen, we support the president in many things, but any language about deporting citizens is unacceptable. It's not permitted under this constitution of ours, and we believe in the rule. Like, that doesn't take a lot. There's just no one there that has any. All of this shows all they care about is their own reelection, their own self-interest. Not only are they cowards, they're selfish cowards that are willing to sacrifice the lives of their constituents and other Americans and the very yes. principles our country was founded on to preserve their own butts. It is so.
And do some stock trading along the side.
Right. Because they haven't figured they won't
right.
prohibit
when
themselves
the market's
from
tanking,
doing so.
Because you know that it's probably going to come back the other way because the president's about to say something.
Right. And don't even get me started on the whole gerontocracy.
Yes.
You think a little new blood might have a little bit more backbone.
But Maggie, I know you love history, but this is where we're at in history, right? History will remember that there were few and far between when it came to standing up for the rule of law in 2025. That's where we're at right now. The Democrats are doing what they can, but it's going to take a few Republicans to find a backbone to say, no, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, don't wait.
I will
Time
tell you
is
right
now.
Now.
Don't wait.
I will tell you. I will tell you. I will make a promise on this program today. I would canvass for and vote for Scott Fitzgerald if he stood up to Donald Trump right now.
There you go.
I would, because it's that important.
Otherwise, you should run against him again.
I've already done that, and there'll be other people that do that. But here's the thing. I can tell you that there are probably other Democrats that would reward Republicans if they stood up.
Yeah. Yeah. I have said many times, sometimes it will feel as if you are the only one speaking truth to power, but keep doing it and others will join your voice. And soon it won't be you standing alone. It will be a roar of the tens of thousands and millions of us that do know the difference between right and wrong, between legal and illegal, constitutional and unconstitutional, and immoral. Adam on the text line asked, when is Murkowski up for reelection? 2028 is the answer to that. Rita and Steve from La Crosse, listening on WLCX, say Murkowski shouldn't be in office if she can't do the job. She should be doing and every single one of those Republicans that don't have any guts need to get the hell out and let somebody in there that can do a decent job for the American people. Here. Kelly from Wanakee, listening at WMDX. Hey, Kelly, how are you? Thank you for texting in. I saw courage in the whistleblower who came forward on PBS NewsHour last night. That young man said he is fearful, but it's the right thing to do. I agree with you, Kelly, and that's in part I resent the shifting of responsibility to caretake our democracy and our most closely held beliefs and values from the people who are supposedly our, quote, leaders, our elected leadership, onto the pocketbooks, the shoulders, the backs of regular Americans simply trying to take care of their family and go to work. But that's where we're at. The systems have failed. The courts are, the Supreme Court, I should say, is failing. Though we had some breaking news, again, round about an hour ago, just as we were coming on air. Of course, the Donald Trump administration tried to appeal Judge Boasberg and Judge Innes's rulings that they were going to have to commence some sort of contempt proceedings, that especially Judge Innes and Mr. Garcia's case was going to have to potentially depose administration officials, etc. Oh, yeah, they appealed that. The Fourth Circuit slapped that right back down, saying, yeah, you're going to have to cooperate with them. Here's what Judge Harvey Wilkinson III wrote. The government asserts that Abrego Garcia is a terrorist and a member of MS-13. Perhaps, but perhaps not. Regardless, he's still entitled to due process. I think that about sums it up. By the way, there's never been any direct evidence of either any terrorist activity or his status as an MS-13 or any other gang member presented and tested in court. Anything or anyone that tells you otherwise is lying to your face. Doug from Wisconsin Rapids points out their oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. So help you God. Lisa Murkowski.
I feel like somebody who took that oath recently did it with their fingers crossed behind their back.
And their toes.
Right. And it's just... And we had confirmation hearings, and they lied through their confirmation hearings. And
all of them.
Here we are. All of them. And here we are today.
We're going to listen to Elizabeth Warren, who is courageous, who does tell the truth, break down why Donald Trump's threats to fire Jerome Powell, which are very real and also illegal, would make an already crumbling an economy so much worse. We're going to take a listen to that and get your calls and text. Brian from Milwaukee, Europe, next on the phone line. Join us, everybody. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you're not going to want to go anywhere. I got a real special surprise coming up at 3:30. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about, well, a little bit of everything. We're going to get to Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, who said yesterday that Trump's tariffs are inflationary and there's going to be some pain refusing to lower interest rates. And Donald Trump is having a commensurate meltdown because Jerome Powell doesn't think Donald Trump gets to decide what the interest rates are. Who knew?
Well,
there's
a thing called
the Federal Reserve Act.
Right. He's actually upset he's not bailing him out.
Correct.
That's what he's upset about.
Yes. Won't do what Donald Trump wants. Brian from Milwaukee, thanks for being patient, sir. Say hello to Tom. What would you like to say?
Oh, hey. Yeah, great show as always. You know, I was talking with someone about the whole deportation thing going on and, you know, with El Salvador and, you know, all of that. And I was talking with someone I know who's the biggest supporter that I went to high school with. And they were like, oh, well, it's no big deal. I mean, obviously they found something wrong with the person. They wanted to have sent them. And I said, well, what's going to happen when I'm sent away? Well, what do you mean? You're a U.S. citizen. You were born here in the U.S. You have a driver's license. You have a Social Security card. You have a draft card. I said, yeah, but I'm gay. I'm openly gay, and everyone knows it. Well, they wouldn't come for you. And I said, well, yeah, and they came for the socialists, the unionists. And I went on and on and on. And I said, so what's going to happen after they come for me and then they come for you? Well, they're not going to come for me because I support the guy. I said, how do you know? And they had nothing to say, and I walked away.
Nice.
And that's what I'm afraid of. What's going to happen if you have the slightest different viewpoint than Trump or the regime or supporters? You're now a target.
100%.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Conservatives, remember the term cancel culture? Not hearing that so much. When, you know, we can criticize universities or people perceived oversensitivities to certain, like, whatever that is. And we can say this needs to be better. But the government is deciding what beliefs and what ways of living are okay. And everybody that doesn't fit in that box can get the hell out of America. That's the message.
Yes. Marco Rubio's State Department saying they want people to watch for anti-Christian bias and report it. Like, what is anti-Christian bias?
Or how about this? To Harvard, the requirement to audit viewpoints of our student body, faculty, and staff, and to, quote, reduce the power of certain students, faculty, and administrators because of their ideological views.
Yep.
If you don't fit in this box, you can get the hell out of our country. And the sad reality is that that is right now a statement that will get a hell yeah from tens of millions of Americans.
Yep. Until they come for them. Because that box will continue,
and there will be no one there
shift,
to speak for move. You. Yes.
Yes.
Let's take a listen. This is Elizabeth Warren on CNBC today, explaining why it'd be a bad thing if Donald Trump tries to fire Jerome Powell, which, just to be clear, under the Federal Reserve Act, he cannot fire him except for cause, and there is none here. Jerome Powell's term ends in 2026. Let's take a listen.
But understand this. If Chairman Powell can be fired by the President of the United States, it will crash the markets in the United States. The infrastructure that keeps this stock market strong and therefore a big part of our economy strong and therefore a big part of the world economy strong is the idea that the big pieces move independent of the politics, that somebody is making his, their, her best decisions economically and independently. We understand that if the New York Stock Exchange, if interest rates in the United States are subject to a president who just wants to wave his magic wand, this doesn't distinguish us then from any other two-bit dictatorship around the world where everyone knows what you really, your big investment risk is, will that dictator sure. wake up in the morning and have a tummy ache and decide to cause this problem or favor that friend? That's why we need to strengthen the infrastructure.
But I know you are not the president.
Yeah, so that'll tank the market. How the prices of eggs doing? Busily, and Trump's busily treating, oh, eggs are cheaper, inflation's going, no, it's not.
No,
like, it's just lies. Conservative Bob on the text line texted this. Garcia admitted that he was an MS-13 gang member when he was being charged for beating his wife. Here's what Abrego Garcia's wife said about said incident. After surviving domestic violence in a previous relationship, I acted out of caution following a disagreement with Kilmar by seeking a civil protective order in case things escalated. Things did not escalate, and I decided not to follow through with the civil court process. We were able to work through the situation privately as a family by going to counseling. If you have a source that says, if you have the document where he says, or a tape recording where he says, I'm a member of MS-13, roll the tape, Bob, because here's the thing. The government hasn't submitted any evidence that he's a member of this gang. Do you think if they had the, like, smoking gun here, they wouldn't have put that all over Fox News? And the bigger point, conservative Bob, is this. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He is owed and afforded due process, and an immigration judge ordered that he never be deported. So do you care about the rule of law, or is it just like, well, we decided this is a bad person so we can violate their civil rights and send him to a concentration camp because we think they're bad?
Right, because we don't do due process through the media. We don't do due process through innuendo. We don't do due process that way. And that's really what we're talking about. So all this other stuff, all the things they're throwing up have nothing to do with the fact that this is about giving people due process in order to be able to enact how you want to enact whatever step is.
And by the way, that was a civil restraining order that never went into full effect. It wasn't convicted of any crime.
Doesn't matter.
And none of it matters.
None of it matters.
Not how this works, conservative Bob. All right. When we come back, I have an extremely special guest. His name is Aaron Popke. He is the Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers. We're going to be talking about the draft.
Go Pack, go.
How do you prepare to go if you're planning to go? What's it going to be like in Green Bay next week? Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got guest co-host Tom Paulswitz with me here through the end of the show this afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, you can always find us on Civic Media's YouTube channel, also on X, Insta, and the Book of Faces at Maggie Dawn Show. If you want my professional side, you can find me on LinkedIn, but use my full name, Margaret Dawn. It's what my mom calls me to this day at 48 years old when I get in deep doo-doo. Folks, I am so excited to have our next guest. His name is Aaron Popke. He's the Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers, and he's going to give us the skinny on the draft coming up next week. Aaron, how are the preparations going?
They are going well. Good afternoon to you, and thanks for the opportunity to be on with you and your listeners.
Yeah,
Tom, good to see you as well. Thanks.
It's an exciting time. This is the 90th NFL draft. We got the Titans with the number one draft pick. I know a lot of Wisconsinites, because we're such amazing football fans, we'll be going just to see the spectacle that is the draft, and it is truly a spectacle. Each year, the production values go up. It seems to be more and more audience-friendly and engaging. What can people expect in terms of crowd size and just navigating the logistics of being in and around Green Bay during the draft, which, again, that is next week, April 24th through 26th?
Yes, those are the dates, and it seems like it has taken a long time for this to come. Going back to the very first time we expressed our interest by filling out a survey in 2015.
Wow.
In fact, I was looking at that just today. Right here is the draft host city survey of interest that we submitted September 30th, 2015.
So I love the NFL has a process for that.
Of course they do.
It's evolved a lot. And then it involved this this little essay that I wrote up.
Like a college application. Like, why do you think your town should be the host of the NFL draft?
In 1,000 words or less.
Oh,
it sounds
that's
like a
brutal
GBT assignment.
But not back in 2015.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, if you follow the draft, that's when they took it on the road to Chicago, and it was still in a theater, but then they had this outside They called it Draft Town then.
Yep.
And it has evolved since then. So we put our hat in the ring back then. We went to the draft in 2017 in Philadelphia. And by then it had already evolved to a big outdoor event with the draft theater that they built. And we've gone to multiple drafts since then. And we're so to have it here a week from today just seems crazy that all this time has passed. And here we are. It's right on top of us. But it has been a long, exciting process. And the energy around here already has amped up. It's, you know, we've equated it to a few different things. It's for people who come and your listeners, we encourage all of them to come and see this and experience it. It's right in our own backyard. It's incredible. The energy that comes with being around sporting events. I think that's what people love so much. Of course, we see it on every game weekend here at Lambeau Field when we have 80,000 people packed in. But this will be like three game days in a row, potentially.
Right.
You know, we projected 240,000 people, but that was based on, you know, what we saw in Cleveland and Kansas City and Nashville. Just we know we're a drive market, and our friends at Discover Green Bay that helped, they're part of our local organizing committee. That's what they do in the tourism business, you know, estimate those things. So that was what we estimated then, and we're sticking with that for now. I think if we get some good weather next weekend, which knock on wood, it looks like we are going to have a good weekend. Yep. You know, we could see more, but we're really just excited to have it here. And our goal is no matter how many people come, those that come have a great experience. And there is so much that's lined up, and even more got announced today. So there's a lot coming.
That's awesome. So this is almost a three-day commercial for Green Bay and the legacy of the Packers. So what do you want to make sure that, you know, people take away from this event when it comes to the Packers and Green Bay?
Well, for those that are coming in, we want to put out our best welcome mat, if you will. And I think people come to Lambeau Field because it's bucket list destination. And you've got that aspect of things. Lambeau's going to be a part of it. If you've gone online and looked at the renderings and how things are going to get laid out, you can see that. So there's that aspect. We want people to experience the history and tradition of the Packers. And there's going to be some of that, just the way things are produced. But just the excitement of this world-class event of this stature right here in Green Bay. It's our opportunity to shine on a big stage. And not only is it a three-day commercial or not, right now it's a commercial for Green Bay, but the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that's why we worked so hard to get it too, because we knew, you know, there's going to be all these people and they can't all stay in Green Bay. So they're going to stay in other communities in and around the state. And along the way, hopefully they take in a lot of the beautiful opportunities our state has.
Aaron, to me, and granted, I'm biased as a native Wisconsinite who basically learned how to use four-letter words watching Majikowski back in the day with my dad on Packer Sundays. It has always been a deep sense of, I've always taken a deep sense of pride in the fact that it's Title Town. It's called the Lombardi Trophy. This very intimate relationship between football in America and the Green Bay Packers. Every time I hear somebody identify themselves as a Cowboys fan, I'm like, that's not America's team. The Packers are America's team. Yes. And I think because of that, there's this very special symmetry and balance. It just feels so right to have the draft finally in Green Bay, especially as the NFL is expanding its reach internationally, right? This ever-growing footprint, not just of the draft, but of the league itself. And so here we return, right, to Lambeau Field, to really the what I'm going to call the birthplace of the modern NFL, I think as many of us understand it, where really the highest values and understanding of the sport were helped, you know, Lombardi helped create that. So I wanted to ask you, in terms of the Packers as a franchise and Green Bay's important and seminal role within the NFL, defining in many ways elements of the NFL, as a team whose ownership remains unique amongst all NFL teams. What do you think it means for season ticket owners, for us as football fans, and for particularly Packer fans to have this moment in Green Bay, especially as the NFL and the sport is really leveling up internationally? It feels like there's so much symmetry to me.
Boy, you touched on a lot of those elements that I think we all believe in. I'm a born and raised Green Bay person, and been this upcoming season will be my 33rd with the club. Mm. So I've knock on wood, I've had the opportunity to see it all here, and particularly recently with the growth of the game, as you mentioned. I think Green Bay, if we're not fans' favorite team, we often hear we're their second favorite team for a lot of what you mentioned. You know, the community ownership. We've got some older fans that became fans during the Lombardi era. I mean, you talk about epitomizing excellence and achievement. That really took off as the popularity of the game took off. But even going back before that, Curley Lambeau won six league championships. That's still tied for the most. So we've got a championship tradition. We've got an ownership by our fans. We are in the smallest city in pro sports. It is the greatest story in sports, an anomaly that'll never happen again. I think people love that story in the David versus Goliath. And boy, the Packers have been punching above our weight, you know, for years now. And people love that kind of story and our championship tradition. And then you mixed in this town that should not have a pro football team. And to be able to experience that and walk around the stadium and the neighborhoods, and there is so much there that is special and really, really captures people's attention and certainly interest, but you know, it's inspiring in a lot of ways. So it's really fun to have this be here for all the reasons you stated. And what is this event? Well, it's a selection meet. There's actually business being conducted. Correct. Every team is undefeated. Hope is at a seasonal high. All those teams, I won't
even for
teams,
even for the Jets.
You know,
yep.
There's certain teams that, you know, they win the off season every year. And hey, that's their time. That's next week, baby. So all those things go into it and just make it really exciting.
That's so cool. As an owner, you know, I'm so glad that it's in Green Bay, because I travel around the country. I've been to a whole bunch of different stadiums, met a whole bunch of different fans, and it inevitably people go, I got to get to Lambeau. You know, it's on almost every football fan's bucket list to show up. So hopefully they'll come for this event, because it, you know, you get to see Lambeau, but you get to experience what Green Bay is. I also happened to be in Vegas during the draft, and I think it was in 2022. I was there accidentally, and you know, I just remember it being a sideshow of a sideshow. In Vegas, right? It just didn't have the same thing. There's this huge opportunity to not only showcase Green Bay and Wisconsin, but I'm sure you have a list of whole bunch of other scheduled things that people will be able to do. So maybe you can touch on a few of those. Just what are the other things that people will be able to bring their families to or whatever, just beyond the draft itself?
Well, I would say, first and foremost, download the OnePass app. That's available through the iPhone and Android users. It's an app that the NFL has for the different events, and the draft is really the featured one right now. But go on there and register. We should point out that this is free. It does not cost anything to enter the event. So go on there, download the app, register. You can register you can register your kids, anyone who's coming with you, register there. And then that app really has a schedule of everything that's available. There's certainly the huge draft theater that is just so incredible to see it being built in the east side of our stadium. But the draft experience is an area you can walk through. There's food, beverage, there's local restaurants and culinary experts who are going to be cooking their fare. There'll be standard, you know, your traditional stadium fare too. But the activities for the kids over on the west side of our stadium in Titletown, our very own Packers Everywhere team is putting together the draft house, HAUS, which is going to have you both appreciate this, not saying you go to such establishments, but it's going to have a dive bar look and feel.
Of course I do. Of course I do, Aaron.
They're quintessential. I see Calvin's even getting excited about that.
Everybody's like, yes.
But, you know, that's going to be an activity. There's galleries, there's photo ops, there's NFL legends that are going to be here greeting fans. So there's so much to experience and even opportunity to go into Lambeau Field, sit down and watch the draft there. And just today, some details came out about the opportunity to go on to Lambeau and kick a field goal. Go on to Lambeau and sit on the wall and act like you've just done a Lambeau leap for a photo op.
Awesome.
So NFL One Pass has all that information and more. And also NFL.com draft information. If you like to do your research on a larger screen, just go to the website too, and you can dive in and make all your plans. There's maps, where to park, how to drive here. If you want to park downtown and take the bus over, all sorts of things to plan your day or days. And there's enough going on where you may want to spend a couple of days here. So for your listeners, make plans, be here. It's going to be a great weekend, and we are so excited.
Aaron Popke, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Public Affairs for our very own and much beloved America's team, the Green Bay Packers. You're going to want to be there or be square. The draft kicks off 1 week from today in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I got Tom Paulsowitz with me as a guest co-host. We're going to have some final thoughts and maybe make fun of a former Packer when we get back. And I've got a story about Roger Goodell. Don't go anywhere. All coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks, Aaron.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A huge thank you to Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers, ahead of draft week next week. It all kicks off next Thursday in Green Bay. You're not going to want to miss a minute of that. Also, a big special thank you to Jamie, my senior producer, for making Aaron's appearance today happen. What fun to chat with him. All right. Should we poke a little fun, or should I tell my Roger Goodell story, Tom? What do you think?
Do we have time for both?
I think we do.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll start with the Goodell story. Some of you, if you've listened to me for a while, have heard this. I was in Chicago in 2015 when the draft was in Chicago. I was speaking at a conference. The conference happened to be at the Four Seasons. I was quite fortunate to be there. I was a featured speaker, so they put me up for free, which was very nice. But nearly all of the owners and, you know, NFL top management, they were all staying there as well because, you know, fancy pants.
Yep.
And after my speech day, and we go to the dinner with some folks, and then we came back and we're all we're having a good time. Let's grab a little nightcap at the Four Seasons bar. So we waltz on in there. And as soon as I get in there, my brain went, oh my gosh, it's the draft, because it was just packed with enormous men, right? Enormous men everywhere. which again, being 6 feet tall and 4-inch heels,
you were good.
Target-rich environment, if you will. Target-rich environment. I mosey my way on up to the bar, and this has probably never happened in my experience. I was with like four or five different male colleagues. I was the only woman with them, and they all were like, "We got to go to the restroom." It was the only time I've seen like a pack of gents go to the. I was like, "Okay, great. I'll figure it out." So I mosey on up to the bar. Not a ton of space. I kind of wheedle in there at the bar, and I bumped the guy next to me, not intentionally, and turns around, and it's Roger Goodell. And, oh, hey, and I said, how's the draft going? Right? It's like, we're there. Sure. Might as well talk about the thing that interests the man the most of all of the things in the world.
Right.
So we had just a little bit of chit chat, and he's like, the waiter came over and he's, I'll get your drink. What would you like, ma'am? And so I took the opportunity to order three fingers of Johnny Walker Blue on Roger Goodell. Like, you know, nice. When the gift horse appears, don't look it in the mouth. Just order the most expensive scotch you can.
I think he can afford it, right?
Yes. I figured, Goodell's good. And he chuckled as soon as I did. And he's like, all right. And he's like, I'll take one too. So Goodell and I did a little cheers to the Johnny Walker Blue. And that was that. There might be a funny PS that's more appropriate for you and I over a scotch later, Tom. Later.
There we go. Yes. Yeah, later.
But on occasion, I find Aaron Rodgers to be susceptible to having some fun made of him. Like, the guy takes himself way too seriously, and he's had some significant, he's made some mistakes. I talked about this last time when he went on Pat McAfee's show and complained about commentators as he was commentating himself. And Super Bowl champ, former Steelers Ryan Clark gave him the who's it, what's it, and what's for when he did that last time, which I love. Perfection from Ryan Clark. Well, Ryan Clark was at it again with a scathing breakdown of Aaron Rodgers' sort of ridiculousness vis-a-vis potentially being a quarterback for the Steelers, but refusing to give the Steelers any firm answers. Let's take a listen, Cal.
I mean, it makes me sick, to be honest. Unless Omar, the general manager, Omar Khan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has some sort of promise or some sort of lean on Aaron Rodgers, believing that he is going to come back and play football. And if he does make that decision, he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I feel like this has been mishandled already. I feel like to be waiting, right, or to be held hostage by a former quarterback of the New York Jets that's actually never done anything for you. What has Aaron Rodgers done in the last 2 years or since leaving Green Bay that says he should be afforded this type of time? So that says that you should give him the sort of respect that keeps your franchise at bay. When I think about this decision, to me, it doesn't matter what happens going forward. I think it's been a bad play by the Pittsburgh Steelers already. And so I would give Aaron Rodgers a deadline. And when I give him that deadline, it wouldn't lead me into next week. I would need to know if you're coming back to play or not this week. And more importantly, if you're coming back to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ouch.
Has Ryan Clark met Aaron Rodgers? I mean, isn't this just the way Aaron Rodgers does things? Once again, are you surprised?
Are you surprised? This is just par for the course. I just dig how Ryan Clark goes at it. Mince is nowhere. Like, what have you done for me lately? You've not really done squat for the last couple of years. Apparently, Rodgers pitched himself to the Vikings. Like, I'll come for a year and mentor your new guy. They're like, nah, we're going to go with the new guy, dude. You're toxic in a locker room.
Right. We don't need all that other stuff.
We don't need that kind of leadership.
our producer, Jamie, posted a great quote. And here's Aaron Rodgers. I'm open to anything and attached to nothing. And I think that pretty much sums up.
Right. Like,
totally
just vacuous nothingness. As long as it pays me well and you stroke my ego, I'm all for it. Tom, it's always such a pleasure to see you.
How about that Jordan Love, though?
How about that Jordan Love? I love me some Jordan Love. Yep. Go, Jordan. Go, Pack. Y'all, I'll be back tomorrow. We got a little Ask Maggie. We got a little What's Good Local and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Big thanks to each and every one of you for hanging out with me, Cal, Jamie, and Tom this afternoon. Thanks to you, Tom. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the Green Bay Packers.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.